Appreciate all the kind words you said about my wife. I knew she was awesome already. Now you know it. Amen. And she can fling her down. Did she do the kick? Did she kick when she was preaching? I hope so. I tried to teach her that, but she's got that meek and quiet spirit. And anyhow, appreciate all those kind words and pray that the ladies' conference was a blessing. You know, when you have a meeting like a ladies' conference or a men's conference or a college conference or whatever it might be, you just don't know what God does in the lives of people. You just have no idea what things are going on right now in those ladies' lives that were here over the weekend. But we can know that God is in control and the Word never returns back void. And it accomplishes its purpose, and we praise God that we just get to be a part of His work. And I know that there'll be a reward for you because of your faithfulness and because of your hospitality and the work that goes into it. And gives Stephanie just another excuse to do more shopping. That's what it's all about. Well, it's a blessing to be in the Lord's house. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 20. And that, as you're turning there, we're going to use a New Testament passage of 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read that during the introduction. So maybe you'd like to take your finger and just put it in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll go there in just a few moments. But we're going to start out this morning, and our text is going to be in 2 Kings chapter number 20. I had no idea that y'all have just come through your missions month. In the month of June, but I want to preach a mission-type message tonight. So make sure that you come back at 6 o'clock, and we'll be again in the Old Testament tonight in the evening service. Why don't you stand with me, if you would, in honor of the Word of God in 2 Kings chapter number 20, and we'll read the first seven verses. I appreciate Pastor Tidd allowing us to stay over and the invitation to preach. And I know that we have both said this, and it is so true, that when I come here and when he comes to Brian, we feel very comfortable in the sense that our churches are very similar. I've always thought it's just very, there's an ironing there. But when you have like-mindedness, you have the same Bible, you believe the same things, you preach from the Word of God, there's going to be some similarities. And I appreciate the music, and I appreciate the stand of this pastor and this church. And I appreciate your pastor's friendship, and we have a good time together, and I appreciate him very much. The Bible says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now what a positive message that it was. Very negative here. But Isaiah, the prophet, and Isaiah, one of the largest books of the Bible, he's considered one of the major prophets because of the large portion of Scripture in the book of Isaiah, was told by God to go to this king, who was called a good king in the Bible, and to tell him to set his house in order because he was going to die. Verse 2, then he turned, Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And he took and laid it on the boil, and he, Hezekiah, recovered. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you so very much for a place that we can come and gather around the Word of God. Thank you for Sunday. Thank you for the Lord's Day. Thank you for a people who have assembled themselves together to hear from the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would work as only you can, that the words that are said today would be pleasing to Thee, that it would work in such a way, Lord, that today that people would understand this idea that Hezekiah had to face, and that was setting his house in order. And I pray, Lord, that we would have our house in order, for we truly never know the day that we may have to die. And we understand that the Bible makes it very clear that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So I pray, Lord, there would be some setting of order today for the glory of God. In Christ's name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Now, if you were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and you would notice here that in this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, by the way, is one of those chapters in the Bible that is referred to as the resurrection chapter. But I want you to look in 1 Corinthians 15 and notice what it says down in verse number 54. It says this, "So when this corruptible," now we're talking about death here and we're talking about our body, this human body in which we live, this flesh that we live within. By the way, your flesh is not who you really are. Your soul and your spirit and the inner man is who you really are. This is just what it's encased in. This is what God has given us to encase who we, our person or who we really are. And Paul, writing this great chapter of the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal," and it is a mortal body, "shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that is a good New Testament passage for the Old Testament passage that we read this morning about this king whose name was Hezekiah. I want to say, first of all, praise God for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm very grateful for that this morning. But the truth is, death is still the great enemy of mankind. There's no way around that. A man will do anything that he can. He will go to any length that he possibly can, not to have to come to the ultimate time of his death. But it is, and so death is certainly the enemy of mankind. Now, praise God, we can hope and understand that Jesus Christ has overcome death. In 2010, me and Robin were able to travel to Israel with a group of preachers and other people. There was about 40 of us that went on this, but all week we went to different places. We were there about 12 days. We went to Caesarea Philippi. We went to Capernaum. We went to Joppa. We went to a lot of different places. We went to Nazareth and actually went to the area where Jesus Christ would have went to the synagogue. We went to where Jesus Christ performed the first miracle at the marriage of Canaan. We went to other places like Masada. All of these different places in Israel. We went to the Jordan River. But all week we were anticipating when we would go to the grave where Jesus Christ was buried. To the garden tomb, if you would, where Joseph of Arimathea had this garden and had this tomb that Jesus Christ was buried in. And the thing about it is, he only needed it for 3 days because he overcame death, he overcame hell, he overcame the grave, and we have great victory today because Jesus Christ overcame death. And there is great promises about our eternal being because Jesus Christ overcame death. But it doesn't take away the fact that you and I in the flesh today still contend with this enemy that is called death. It's not a mystery about death, especially if you've buried a mother or a father or a wife or a husband or a child or some kind of relative. I mean, one thing as a pastor, I remember one day I was out and I got a phone call, and there was an evangelist with me at the time, and I took this phone call about the death of a dear saint in our church, and he made the statement, "I don't have to deal with that." And I said, "Well, yeah, we all have to deal with it," but I understood what he meant as a pastor dealing with this idea of death within a congregation. I'll tell you, death is a very difficult circumstances on many many levels. Most of the time, we would think that death would be something that is an enemy or something that is something that is negative. Now, I realize there are times when we realize that people are suffering and they're very sick, and we know that they know the Lord, and they'll look right at you and say, "I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord." And we know that in a positive sense, but we normally look at the idea of death as a negative. Would we all agree with that? And again, it can be a blessing and it can be favorable. We know when we know the person is saved and maybe they've gone through a prolonged illness, that would be a positive, because they're no longer suffering and we know that they're with the Lord. But the truth is, most of the time, death is looked upon as something negative. Now, that is just a fact of life and what we deal with. It's not a subject that we talk about every day. In fact, can I say that we have come to the day when many people do not even want to have funerals anymore. They just want to go have a graveside, say a few words, and walk away because they don't want to think about death. But the truth is, every person in this room, doesn't matter what your age is, outside of the coming in the Lord of what we call the rapture, every man, every child, every woman, and every boy will at one day face this enemy of mankind called death. And again, it's not really something you want to rejoice about. If I would say to you that it wasn't something that Hezekiah was looking, that the prophet came to him. Now, we know that in the Old Testament, many times when the prophet would come up on the scene or the prophet would enter into town, that they knew that there was going to be a word of the Lord. I'm glad today that we have the Bible. I'm glad that we can get up and read God's Word and know that God speaks to us through His Word. I praise God for that. But there was not always that openness of the Word of God in the Old Testament. So when a man like Samuel came on the scene and said he needed to speak to Saul, then everybody in the community knew that there was going to be a word from God, that something was going to be said. And I can pretty much rest assured, based upon the text that we read, that when Isaiah showed up to this king who was a good king and who was a king that was considered good, showed up and Isaiah said, "I have a word of the Lord." Here's what he said to Hezekiah. He said, "I've come to give you a message. Set your house in order because you're going to die and not live." So it was not a welcome message. However, it was a clear message. It was a direct message, and it was a message from God. Now, again, we read in the New Testament a passage there where it talks about death, but we also could go to the passage Scripture says this, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Now, personally, I'm glad I do not know when that appointment is going to be. But there is an appointment. And an appointment is something that sometimes people don't take very seriously, but God does and says there is an appointment where every person is going to die. Now, I want to look at some of these things here out about Hezekiah. First thing was, this instruction that God gave was very untimely. I mean, it was very untimely in the sense that Hezekiah, at the time that God came to him, was a young man, literally around 39 years old. So Hezekiah was a man who, at the time, 39 years of old, he was right in the middle of his reign, if you would. And so, no doubt, it was very untimely. It was the 14th year of his reign. Now, we know from the text, because of his crying out to God, And by the way, why did God say that he was going to die? And why did God give him another 15 years? Hey, there's some things we just don't know. And there's some things that we shouldn't try to know. But maybe God will tell us when we get to heaven. Maybe He won't. But I believe by the time we get there, it won't really matter. But people say, you can't question God. Oh, yes, you can question God. I don't think that's a sin. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary said this in His humanity, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, we know the answer to that. I mean, there's questions that we, but God doesn't have to give us an answer if He doesn't choose. He's God. He can do as He pleases. And the text doesn't really tell us why Isaiah came to Him and said, "Hey, set your house in order, for you're going to die and you're not going to live." And we know that he goes to God in prayer and he tells God and he talks to God. And by the way, Isaiah 38 even actually records some of the prayer that Hezekiah prayed. But he said, "Set your house in order." It was very untimely. I would tell you that at the age of 39, we would say that he was in the prime of his life. I mean, I've often made this statement in teaching the Bible Institute, and this is a general statement, so don't hold me to it, because I've had people say, "Well, you can't be that specific." I'm not being specific, but I am making a statement here, and I do tell men that are in the Bible Institute that after some years of training, and after they get ready, whether you're a Bible college student or a Bible Institute, I'm telling you, you're really not ready to handle what it means to pastor a church, I don't believe, generally speaking, until a man's around 30 years of age. And the reason I say that is Jesus Christ didn't begin His ministry until He was 30 years of age. And I say that there's exceptions to that. I'm not saying that we can't. I'm just saying after some years of experience and after preaching for 15 years, a man begins to develop and knows how to handle the Word of God. He might get a little gray in his hair and people will take him more seriously. And so by the time he gets to be about 45 or so, he might be what we would call in his prime. And from 45 maybe to 65, 70, he can be very effective for the Lord just because of experience and with people and all of that that goes with it. I'm just telling you, he would be in his prime of his life. And then all of a sudden, God says that he's going to die. So I just say this as a general statement. You take a man who's 40 years old, he's in his prime to now give God maybe 25 to 30 years to pour out his life to God. That is a general statement. But if God was to take a man's life in that prime, we would say that was very untimely. Well, untimely maybe for us, but not for God. Now I can go back. Listen, I'm 53, all right? I'm still young, very young. Very, 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 very young. But I'll tell you this, when I was 39, I had more stamina. When I was 39, it seemed like my brain was clear. Now I got to write everything down. If somebody tells me something, I'm writing it down and I'm putting an appointment to it. Because my phone's always going off and telling me what I'm supposed to be doing and where I'm supposed to be going. Because I can't put 23 things in my brain anymore like I once could. I used to put my calendar in my mind and tell you where I'm supposed to be and what time for the next week. Now I've got to have a phone to tell me that. Oh, I'm supposed to be somewhere in 30 minutes. Because the truth is we don't think as clear when we're 65 as we did when we're 25. We don't run as far when we're 65 as we did when we're 25. We don't have the stamina that we did when we're 65 like we did when we're 25. Are you with me today? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm telling you that God came to this man in the very prime of his life and said, "You're going to die. Set your house in order." He was, by the way, think about this also, this Hezekiah king. He was a man who had brought, really, if I could say it like this, he had brought revival back to Israel. He had brought the worship of God back to the temple after repairs had been made. He was the leader in the day. Listen to this. When the Passover had been restored after not doing what God had commanded the Jewish people for a long time. I mean, this guy set things in order. He had things going right. I mean, Isaiah was his preacher. That's a pretty good preacher. You could also read in the Old Testament, he had accumulated wealth and prosperity. He had built cities. He was well respected. He found favor with God. He was called a good king. He was the man, along with the prophet Isaiah, who had humbled himself before God when the Assyrian army was threatening the nation of Israel. Now, with all these things going on, Isaiah comes to him and says, "Hey, set your house in order. You're going to die." Whoa, that's untimely. Very untimely. His message was this, "Thou shalt die and not live." Now notice the reaction to King Hezekiah's reaction in verse number 2 when he says, "Then he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord and he besought God and he begged God." And he said, God, this is who I am. God, this is what I've done. Now, God didn't have to answer the prayer and give him 15 more years, but he did praise God for that. Now, I want you to go to, let's do this. Go to Isaiah 38. And if you go to Isaiah 38, you'll read some of the very same words in Isaiah 38 that we just read here in 2 Kings. But I'll drop down. In fact, look at this. In those days, verse 1 says, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Chapter 38 of Isaiah. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Verse number 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Some of the very same words that we read in 2 Kings chapter 20 are found when Isaiah is recording this in Isaiah 38. But notice down in verse number 10, he kind of gives us the prayer that Hezekiah prayed. He said, I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. Listen, this is what he is saying after Isaiah comes and says, set your house in order. And he begins to talk to God. And he said, I said, verse 11, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. My age is departed. 39 years old. My age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with the pining sickness. From day even to night will thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. Can you imagine? He's just shaking in his sickness as he's got a hold of his body. He said this, I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Oh, Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love. See how God's turning this around and he's still talking? In love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Some of the same words, but in that middle, this is what he's thinking. Oh, Lord. And God allowed him to recover. But do you know the main thing that he said? He said, you need to set your house in order. You need to make sure that everything is right. You need to make sure that everything was as it's supposed to be. So we see here that Hezekiah turns his face to the wall, begins to pray. And according to this, he is having a tough time understanding why God is taking his life in a prime. Why? Because it's untimely. It's very untimely. The reason we know it's untimely, because in verse 4 and 5, he says, and it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out of the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go into the house of the Lord. So it was untimely. It was very difficult for Hezekiah to understand. But can I say this? If we were to make an application for you and I today, but what Hezekiah was going through, it was not only untimely, but the truth is death is universal. Who is exempt from this message, set thy house in order? Can I say to you, nobody is exempt from this idea. Why is nobody exempt from the idea of setting their house in order? Why? Because the truth is, we have no idea what tomorrow holds. We have no idea what's going to happen this afternoon. I'm telling you right now, you sit in a church and you hear the preaching of the Word of God and you know you're lost, you know you're not saved, you know you faked it, you know for a doubt, you know without a shadow of doubt if you die we're to go to hell. Can I say to you, you better understand what Hezekiah was going through when God told him to set his house in order. You better set your house in order when it comes to salvation. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Some deaths, like I've done enough funerals to understand that death is no respecter of persons, and death doesn't care how young you are, it doesn't care how old you are, and it doesn't care how middle-aged you are. If he decides to show up at your doorstep, there is nothing that a person can do because death is no respecter. Now, we'll tell you this, there are some deaths that are very untimely, and maybe I don't understand, and take place, and without the intervention of God, it would have been untimely. My cousin, my dad is the oldest of seven boys, seven kids. My dad's the oldest boy, and then my dad's youngest brother, the youngest brother, there's a lot of difference in them, but my dad's the oldest, and Jerry is the youngest. And his oldest daughter, Laura Jane, was my sister, who is 12 years younger than me, best friends. Even though they were cousins, they were best of friends. I mean, you could go wherever you would go, you would see them together. They hung out together. They did things together. They grew up together. So my dad, in his older age, had a daughter that's 12 years younger than me. And I could just tell you that my dad let her get away with stuff he never let us get away with. I said, this is the child of your old age. You'd have never let me and my brother get away with some of the stuff she gets away with. But I was 12 years old when my sister was born. And then youngest uncle, his oldest daughter. So they were born pretty close to the same time. Within months. And so they grew up together and they became friends. And they were just buddies all the time. And I was working for FedEx. And I got a phone call from my wife. It was the day before cell phones and things like that. And she called my work because of this message. And my work called one of the places that I would pick up packages. And when I got there, I had a message that I needed to call into work. And when I called into work, they said to call my wife. And at the age of 16 years old, my cousin, Laura Jane, was killed in a car accident. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. It was the most untimely thing that ever came that hit upon our family. It was, my dad was distraught. My sister lost her best friend. My uncle lost her daughter. It was something that you just didn't wake up today and say, well, today some tragedy is going to take place. One of the best missionaries I've ever known and was friends with was a man named Tony Walker, and he was a missionary in Papua New Guinea. And we were friends with them and became close with them. And I'll never forget, I was preaching a meeting in Oklahoma, and he called me and said, preacher, could you pray for me? I said, hey, brother, how you doing? He goes, I'm telling you, something is not right. I'm going to go to the doctor. And he said, I just wanted you to pray for me. I did. I stopped right there, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on in Tony's life, but you know, Lord. And come to find out, he had leukemia. And within a year, me and my wife sat at his bedside with his wife and sat there while he took his last breath and he went home to be with the Lord. And I said, oh God, this is one of the greatest missionaries I've ever seen. Turned his life over and done things for you. It was untimely, but I'm telling you right now, you don't know when death is going to come. And it's untimely. But the truth is, it's universal. Every person in this room does not know the day or the hour in which they shall die. Therefore, what must we do? We got to set our house in order. One day, if the Lord does not come back, there's going to be a funeral service for Jeff Abels. I've already given my wife a few instructions. Who I want to sing. Who I want to preach. And I don't want them to say nothing good about me. I want them to glorify the Lord because He's been good all this for everything. And you know what the truth is? You don't even know what's inside of you and what's going on. I don't know anyone who chooses to die over living, but the truth is we're all going to die. I don't want to die. You know why I don't want to die right now? Because I want to enjoy my grandkids. But the truth is, it could be one day Papa will be dead. God made us as living beings, and therefore we love to live. Death is our enemy, and it intrudes lives. No one is exempt from the statement that it is appointed unto man once to die and after the judgment. So the question is, or the statement is, listen to this, is your house in order this morning? We don't come to church just so we can say, well, we checked off our duty for the day. No, listen, we come because we need to be reminded of what does the Bible tell us and what are we supposed to be doing. Well, the message for this morning is, hey, doesn't matter how old you are, you better set your house in order. Hey, Indiana has been all over the news the last week. Is that not true? Over this bus accident that happened not far from. You know, you have no idea. One of the couples in our church, their daughter goes to that church and they're dealing with it. Listen, death, it happens. But nobody would have probably thought, well, better get our house set in order at camp because this will be our last message. Now let me ask you, what is really important? Is your job, your house, your hobby, your money, your house? Listen, I'm telling you, is your house in order when it comes to salvation? I think that is a very, very, very fair question to ask. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings. Let me ask you this, is your house set in order when it comes to your relationship with Christ on a daily basis, not just your salvation, but if the Lord was to take you and you stood before Him, would He say, hey, where you been? How come you hadn't been spending time with me? How come your house wasn't in order with your relationship with me? Is your house in order when it comes to the relationship with your wife? Is your house in order when it comes to the relationship with your children? Is your house in order when it comes to the relationship that you have with each other? There's some people on one side of the church can't get along with somebody on the other side of the church, yet they expect to go to heaven one day and live in harmony. Why can't you live in harmony now? Because your house has not been set in order like it should be. Well, preacher, you just don't know what they said to me. Oh, take a baby aspirin and get over yourself. Seriously. Is your house in order when it comes to your purity? Is your house in order when it comes to your giving? Is your house in order when it comes to your service? Is your house in order when it comes to mission giving? Is your house in order when it comes with your wife and children? Because the truth is not only was this an untimely death, and not only is death universal, but the truth is it is undeniable. You will die and not live. You just don't know when. We're frail. Richard King, missionary out of our church, we were just able to establish a new work up in Seattle, Washington, the only independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in Seattle proper. And I know there's other surrounding churches there in the Seattle area, but I'm telling you, in the city proper of Seattle, it's the only independent Baptist church. And we were able to establish that. Brother King moved on, and now he's in, all of a sudden, we're talking back and forth where he might be able to go, what he might be able to do. He's a great man of God that is able to help churches and build them back up. I mean, he just got a knack for it. God has used him. Well, all of a sudden, out of the blue, we had an opportunity to go to Grand Island, Nebraska, second largest city in Nebraska, church that had struggled, went through a lot of things. And by the way, can I tell you, he went there, people have been saved, things have been going good, but all of a sudden, out of the blue, he comes up with lymphoma cancer. I'm telling you, if you knew Richard King, he is like man's man, works all the time, and boom, out of the nowhere, cancer. But you know what? I said, well, preacher, let's find out. Let's call Houston, Texas. We'll try to get the best doctors. We'll try to do it. And he calls MD Anderson, which is a great cancer research center down in Texas. And all of a sudden, every four doctors at MD Anderson said to Richard King, the foremost doctor, cancer doctor for the type of cancer you have is in Omaha, Nebraska, hour and a half away where God placed him. Oh, it's just a coincidence. No, it's not. God was moving so that he could get treatment right there. You don't know what's going on inside of you. Now, we're praying for a favorable result. Believe that doctor says that he believes 80% he can help him get over this. But here's the truth. The truth is we're frail. We're frail. We don't know when our time is going to end. And here's what I'm trying to get across with you. Live with your house in order every day. Live your life based upon what is important, because when you come to the end of that life, the things you think are important now, you'll discover are not so important. You think a car is more important than getting things in order with God. You think a job is more important than getting the order of life with God. You think these things will mean nothing when you know that you're about to stand before God. Now, I do believe this. I believe Hezekiah was enjoying life and enjoying the wealth and the prosperity and how God was bringing revival. But out of the blue and out of nowhere, He said, "Hey, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live." What? And then God said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you 15 more years." There's nothing wrong with cars and jobs and hobbies, but they got to be placed in the right order. The fact that some untimely death is only for God to understand. The truth is that it is a universal message for every one of us this morning. The fact is undeniable. It is a timeless truth that is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And we, every one of us, have to answer this question: is our house in order? Is it? If it's not, praise God for the opportunity to get it in order. Praise God for an invitation time. Praise God for the truth of the Scripture. Praise God for salvation in Jesus Christ. Praise God for a place that you can come and worship. Praise God for a preacher who will preach to you and tell you the truth. You don't have to live with your life out of order, and you don't have to live with your salvation out of order, and you don't have to live your life all jumbled up in a mess. You can do exactly what Hezekiah did. You can set your face to the wall and come to the only one that can save you, and come to the only one that can set things in order. Folks, you can't get right with each other until you first get right with God. You can't get your house in order until you get right with God. But you can get right with God. And you can get right with each other. And you can set your house in order. Hezekiah did. Now I can just see Isaiah. "Man, Lord, I can't believe I got to give this message." He gave him the message. He turned around. He walked off. He gets to the outer court and God said, "Stop. Go back and tell Hezekiah I'll give him 15 more years." He goes back and gave him the remedy for the boil. Lay that thing up on the boil. Lay them figs up on the boil. I don't understand all that. He took the right medicine because God gave him the instruction, and He gave him 15 more years. Now, you may have 15 years left. You may not. You might know of untimely death. You know that death is universal, but I guarantee you know this: it's undeniable. So what do we do, preacher? Set our house in order. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed.